fishing.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program, brought to you by Watchmen for Jesus program network. Here we are. Well, welcome today. And today, I tell you what, we're going to talk about the news, but the story behind the news. I want to talk about a completion of about the heavens. But before that, during the current news I'll speak about, I want to talk about how they're targeting our troops. And they just have no idea. Psychologically, medically, every which way possible. And I've warned the Freemasons dozens of times, as if they're going to listen, but to my broadcast, but what's going on with the bankers, the 20 bankers that's died already, supposedly, the SEALs that were dead from heart attacks, right? The commander that was killed at a hotel recently was ruled suicide. I've been telling Masons they're going to be targeted as well toward the end of the completion of their New World Order. When the Great White Brotherhood has total control, they will start dying also in the same fashion. That's a promise. They already got it planned. It's already happening. You know, people just don't understand what's really going on. If people understood who the enemy really was, if they understood that history, you have a prefabbed history. Now, you try to tell this to a student in first year, second year, third year at Harvard or Yale or MIT, whatever, or even a senior in high school about his history, is prefab. The wars were planned before 1870. They think you lost your mind. And then when you show them the evidence, their mind goes into a denial. Well, that's not counting the veterans of the wars. Can you imagine telling a World War II veteran, with only really one left, I think, but a Korean veteran or Vietnam veteran, that all these wars were pre-planned and the outcome was already set up? From the day we went into Vietnam, the day they went into Korea, the outcome of the war was already decided with 100% chance of who the victor is going to be. Now, there's evidence on this that's pretty much slam dunk. I mean, you know, it's not even debatable, really, at all. The perpetrators are named. The agenda is set up, and you can read about it. I mean, it's there, right there. So that really puts history pretty much out the window. So they're teaching your kids junk out there in the history, which can be proven that it is. You see? Mm-mm-mm. So what they try to do is gin up patriotism. I'm going to explain something today that's going to rub some people wrong, maybe. Rubs me wrong to say it. So I know it's going to rub some people wrong if it rubs me wrong, but I got to say it. I have no choice. And I'll talk about that shortly. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and jump into an epiphany I had that comes from experience, knowledge of what's going on. God gave me a little prompting to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about it here for the first 20 minutes, I guess. Then we're going into the news, and then talk about the targeting of troops, and then talk about the heavens. We need to establish the heavens, what's really going on up there, and using the scripture. Lord, we come before you today in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. And Father, that's Jesus Christ. Father, we know so much deception's coming down. Father, we pray that you'll lift that deception from us. You give us discernment and wisdom to see through this deception that's taken over. Father, to see through these fallen angel deceptions, to expose the real cause of what's going on today in the supernatural realm. Father, you'll lead us in the truth with wisdom and discernment. Give us opportunities that we can to warn others of the truth. And Father, to convict us of the sins we commit, that Father, you'll keep us straight, that it'll give us that nudge that we'll repent. That Lord, we thank you for the trials and tribulations that you give us. We pray for our brethren. We pray for our loved ones that are in need of healing. And those needing guidance. And those teetering on whether or not to become born again, that Father, you give them that nudge. Take that stone away from their heart. Set up divine appointments. Whatever it takes, Lord, that will be done. But, Lord, that they'll see Jesus Christ for the true reality of who he is. Father, only through giving us the strength, giving us the wisdom, giving us the opportunity, softening their hearts, and Father, that they'll come to Jesus Christ. We pray for the leaders in this country. We pray for leaders in the other countries, that Father, you'll lift the veil from their eyes, that they'll see the truth. And Father, you'll protect our veterans. Lord, you'll spread the blood of Jesus around them. Give them wisdom, discernment to show them the way and ways to fight this targeting that's going on with them, against them. And Father, protecting the children, Lord, that are being identified and abducted for these sacrifices from the Wicca and the Satanists and all the like that's around. And Father, you lift the protection of the Wicca in these nearby cities and estates that have these Wiccan covens. And Father, you cause them disarray and strip down their protection that they have to open them up to the Holy Spirit, that those some within their covens can pull away. And Father, we call upon you too, that within the churches you convict the soul, the spirits of the Freemasons inside, that they'll renounce the blood oaths that they've had and bring back their families to the truth. Father, to guide us through this deception coming about the end times events. And Father, to close up those portals that they're trying to open. And Father, to destroy their technology, that more opportunity will be available that we can witness to others before that day comes, the day of the Lord. And this is what we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Endure to the end, you're going to be sorely tested. Right now, it's just practice. That you can rest assured. When will it happen? Nobody knows. But just like in the Marine Corps, you don't just slough off training. In law enforcement, you just don't slough off training. In peacetime, you still train for war because you don't know when that balloon is going to go up. You don't have time to say, oh, wait, we're not ready yet. you got 12 hours to pack. Whoa. Well, you're not going to have even a second's notice when this new order starts to take over. They do these surveys that you read about in Better Homes and Gardens and all these surveys. But the surveys they use are done by their engineers, social engineers, to determine where the culture's minds are at, where their loyalties lie, are they ready for homosexual marriage nationwide? Are they ready? How far along are they? That's how they tell, like taking a thermometer. You all think, maybe some of you, that it's just cute little surveys they take. And no, they test every time, every decade, every year, every month, whenever they can, to see where the culture is located. To see where their heads are at, the culture, where it's located, as far as their scheme of planning and training. And what I'm trying to say is they'll say, well, we're going to tax something. The farmers. When they do this, it's going to have collateral effect on certain other aspects that people don't realize. The changing images of man, a study done by Stanford, they use that. And they have a set, I could go through it, but from Tyler has, for example, 8 steps. From democracy to dictatorship, they figured it took about 250 years, give or take, with 8 steps particularly. And they go through that. The Iron Mountain Report, they have objectives, the communist plans, they have objectives. And they all coordinate it through these councils, committees that you hear about, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, etc. And they all meet together, though. This is coordinated. This is not separate. All the countries work together at the highest level. Even when you're at war, they work together behind the scenes. That should be the biggest impact I can get across to you. Churchill was working with Hitler. FDR was working with all 3 of them. and Queen Elizabeth II and Stalin. They work together. They're all second cousins, except for FDR. He's a lower level, nothing but a lower level cousin is all he is, of the Merovingian bloodline, because he's nothing more than a president of a corporation. That's how they do it. Important folks in their monarchy are second cousins, the first cousins. And they intermarry. Why do they intermarry? Because they have a specific bloodline gene that other human beings do not have. You can trace it all the way back to the ancient pharaohs of Egypt. That might have got your attention. This is the reality of the world we live in. They're hybrids. Nephilim. Quantified DNA to highest level. They will have illegitimate children outside of that bloodline, which will give a lower level cousin, if you will, and they'll position them in different places, but they will not have hierarchy or kings and queens. That's how it works. The president is already picked before he gets into grade school with two or three alternates. It's going to be president or prime minister of any country. Those that are assigned are Freemasons or some secret society in certain other countries or colonies, as they call them. If they get out of hand or get power lust or have a change of heart, whatever, they take them out. First, they demonize them or take what they've done evil and bring it to the surface to get rid of them, or they'll assassinate them and then replace another puppet. They did it with Batista and Castro, the Shah, and Almende. That's how they do it. That's history. It's all pre-planned, orchestrated, fabricated. Every single bit of it, not one exception. Sometimes they might make a mistake. They always correct it, and they always, 100% of the time, always control both sides of every single war. There is no exception. I did some research, and in addition to, and fairly recently, and we've actually had two that I can find now, two benevolent governments or monarchies in our history of mankind. Two. It was Queen Victoria of England and King James. So there's two. Queen Victoria was a Christian, and she followed the Bible. Queen Victoria, and follow up on her. And King James. Those are the only two monarchies. She was a God-fearing ruler who read her Bible for guidance, and she is from 1819 to 1901. That's where Great Britain grew in power until 1918. God gave Israel a promise, although the Jews there today will be replaced by the real Jews, 144,000. But right now, still Israel itself will remain. And all those countries that go against Israel will fall curse. The Jews are the tribe of Dan, the Judaic Jews, or not the real Jews, Hebrew Jews, will come out. They're called the 144,000 of the real tribes. God used the tribe of Dan and the synagogue of Satan to set up, establish Israel. Israel is God's timepiece. But don't forget the second seal. When Israel, the Jews there in Israel, the Ashkenazi Khazars, will turn their back on God and confirm a peace covenant with the Antichrist that will begin appear to peace and prosperity, oh, but for a short time. Because then God will pull back and Jesus Christ will break the second seal, and that will be the real World War III, not this fake that they're trying to generate today, but the real World War III. will be worldwide, and it will be massive. And that begins the tribulation. We're not there yet, by no stretch of the imagination. Although the signs are there that we're close, we're still not there. And God could let it linger for another generation. Or it could start in May. Or they could have their fake World War III in this spring to bring on the Antichrist. Who knows what they got? All I know is, all I care about, is when that first seal breaks and you're in World War III, the real one, you'll know that for sure. Predicting it? No way possible. And then there'll be 7 years of nothing but God allowing Satan's wrath, and then God's wrath at the last 3.5 years. Hardly any flesh will be alive. So I keep perspective using the Bible as a guideline, because the Bible guides what they do. They can't go outside the Bible guidelines. But right now, they utilize what's called the Hegelian dialectic. Now, I've talked about this dozens of times, and that's their strategy. That's what they do. The dialectic has set up everything in our history. Now, I've explained this. Sometimes it's hard to discern who's actually listening to me today and other days, because my regular listeners, you've heard some of these things dozens of times, and sometimes I'll say the same thing in order to bring in new information. But I always try to bring something new in every time. I'll have virtually every broadcast. But this conspiracy that is so woven together so well, there's no way a human being is going to stop it. It is impossible. So what they do is they allow a hero to appear that becomes benevolent in some fashion every time, and then he turns every time. That's how they do it, even on a personal level. Individual level, they do the same thing. They'll sit and listen, like on the chat or in your conspiracy theory circles and all this. And they'll agree with you all the time. You say, oh, you're doing a good job. Oh, we appreciate it. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Hey, I got some information for you, and you traded for me. And they'll get close to you, start learning about you. Or they'll sit in the chat and watch how certain people act, and they'll start keep track of it. And then they'll start coming out, little by little. Then they'll try to start people fighting each other. They'll, hey, can I talk to you private message? And they'll pull you over. Or they'll inundate you with, you know, good stuff about history and all this to pull in your confidence, you see. And then at some point in time, they'll start changing what they were saying. Or they'll try to mislead you in another path, another direction. And then when you don't bite, then you don't take the hook, then they reverse it and get nasty at you, block you, unfriend you, I don't know what else, call your names, everything. They change just like night and day. It always follows the same routine. It always does. Always. On the highest level, they do the same darn thing. The Hegelian dialectic is designed to get you into a frenzied defense or an offense of a particular idea or some type of thesis, all right? It's kind of a natural outgrowth of some idea, original idea. It's the opposite idea or antithesis that they breed it. It's their own defense, known offense, and the predetermined answer of the elite will be the connection, the synthesis of both sides of the conflict, and they'll control the conflict. Now, how significant is it? Well, I've said before, is so significant that in the 6th century, the Vatican, to create the dialectic of those that would not accept Roman Catholicism, they gave them, about 250 years, that's 2 centuries, to accept Roman Catholicism. So it's carried on from one generation to the next, to the agenda. So by the 6th century, they figured by that time, the Arabs, offspring of Ishmael, that did not accept Roman Catholicism, they didn't immediately attack. All they did was, okay, they created a religion for them. And it's called Islam. Was created by the Vatican. So they controlled Islam. They both have beads. There's a lot of similarities between Islam and the Vatican and Roman Catholicism. And they controlled Islam, ready for another day to use as another dialectic. Then they created Zionism in the right time in 1897. Family, this is long-term planning. It's carried from one generation to the next. That's how they get the continuity. The global elite, on one thesis, Wall Street funded the Bolshevik Revolution. Early 1917. Then to make sure the war would proceed as planned, the antithesis was already created. It's called Nazism. It was created when Wall Street again funded Adolf Hitler, 1928. Marxist Russia was actually created by Clinton Roosevelt in 1841. Passed his document on to Karl Marx, who wrote it. That was the basis of the Bolsheviks. It was created by the Vatican, created by the Freemasons, Manzini, all the way back to Adam Weishaupt. So by 1917, it was ready to go. Nazi Germany, Nazism, and fascism was created at the same time to be used in the 20th century. You won't find it in the history books. So Marxist Russia was created in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution. Family, that was planned in the 1860s. And the Rothschilds counted on 1 to 2 generations to carry it through. Now you see. Nazism proceeded in the 1860s also. Developed by Frank Nietzsche. Taken over from Karl Ritter. So by the time Bismarck in World War I helped develop the Nazi movement, they bring in second cousin to Churchill, Stalin, Adolf Hitler. Trained him, got him to write a book. They trained him in Tavistock when he got out of World War I. He's part of the bloodline. He was trained at Tavistock, funded by Wall Street. Now you see. These are facts, man. Facts. Wall Street funded him through IG Farben, chemical cartel. Without the funding, you'd never have had a hit Adolf Hitler. Did I say Adolf? I sure did. We constructed, not only subsidized Soviet Union 1920 to present, we also constructed the subsidized National Socialism. To set up post-World War II and the United Nations. And the model of the United Nations was the League of Nations by that whip Woodrow Wilson. He's controlled by Mandel House. Now you get it? That's how it works, man. When you connect the dots, it's just mind-blowing sometimes. So now you know why we have set up Communist China and allowed it to take place. Oh, yeah, in the Korean War. That was the Korean War was all about. And Vietnam as well, besides some other issues and drugs and demoralized U.S. troops and Agent Orange and all that. I just wish people would understand this and see for what it really is. They're going about it all wrong. They don't know. They want to stop this New World Order. You can't stop the fire until you know where the base of the fire is located. All people's doing is fanning the flames. To stop a fire, you got to go to the base of it with the extinguisher. You got to have the right people, the right strategy. When you got the entire government on both sides of the ocean against you, you realize the only way is through supernatural means. Spiritual warfare is the only way. You know, they could make this go on for another 75 to 100 years. You know the way they do it? If they figured that people just not ready, because they got a small window to react. The window is based on supernatural alignment. Alignment of the constellations to open up portals and to allow certain supernatural events. Now, this is a fact. If they miss that target, they miss that date, then they have to wait another so long till the stars are in a certain position. It's about opening up portals, allowing the fallen angels to be able to come in to this plane. Let me give an example. This is the reality. I guess it's why I don't have 1,000 listeners, but because people, it's hard for people to understand this. But I just, you know, I'm pulled. I have to tell the truth, and this is the truth, and there are evidence to support it. Everything's based on the supernatural. The going back to 1960s, for example. Lately you read articles about certain people that have sex with animals and they kill the animals and kill people and so forth. Family, this is all about supernatural. Drawing the life force from animals, human, plants, everything. This is what it's really about. It just is. I mean, I could be sensational and talk about, you know, the black-booted cops, black-jacketed cops, and the tyranny and all this, that, and the other, and get you all worked up about that. And we got to go out there and do something and march and get that emotion going and patriotism and all this sort of thing. But it's not the truth. Are we getting tyrannical government? Family, we've always had a tyrannical government. You didn't know it yet. Confirmed, FDR, March of 4th, 1939. He confirms we've never had a democracy. He's one of the first ones that wanted to plan a dictatorship. He failed to do that. 1960 is supposed to do the same thing. That failed. 1972. Nixon tried a dictatorship. I've already proven that this past week with their own testimonies. That was the purpose of that particular broadcast. Let them tell you. But all our criminals that are nationally, internationally known are linked up to the occult. Charles Manson has been working behind the scenes just like Mandela. He is a murderer. You ever wonder why they kill such men as Martin Luther King and JFK, who are real men that wanted peace? And Malcolm X, even. He come back with a whole different attitude about Islam. And Bobby Kennedy. And McKinley. And even Lincoln, finally. They're dead. They were murdered. And yet Mandela is protected in prison. That's the whole purpose. He orchestrated bombings and murders and everything behind prison. You know how I know this? Not only because of the links, but family. He was a Knights of Malta. Oliver North, the Knights of Malta. Pat Buchanan, Knights of Malta. Churchill was a Knights of Malta. Leonard Horowitz is a Knights of Malta. Family, they're secret society members. They work for the Illuminati, the secret societies. It's not right to pretend to be patriot, to pretend to be what you're not to the European people, the American people, because you've taken a blood oath to kill and to establish a new world order that will fail. That's a promise. It will. But in the meantime, a lot of death is going to take place, but God uses it. He allows it so you can make a decision about where you want to go, heaven or hell. Any questions? But Charles Manson, for example, he's protected. That's why he's in prison. He is orchestrating the helter-skelter yet to come. He's been doing it for decades. The Aryan Nation of the Christian Identity never received him in their organization, but he's very prominent. You'll find, if you do research, he's got like three or four, five or so cell phones taken from him. They sneak cell phones in. You have people in there that know what's going on. Keep an eye on him, but it doesn't work because they give him a cell phone. That way he coordinates the Crips, the Bloods, the KKK, all these guys, Aryan Nation, and ready for the helter-skelter yet to come. He coordinates them. Even today, he's very substantial, very significant in this agenda for the multi-jurisdictional task force of bringing in the street gangs to start the helter-skelter. Then what they're going to do is declare martial law and start killing the street gang members. They don't know that yet. Anyway, Satanism is what it's all about. If you watch some of his interviews back in the 80s, clearly. So I'm going to give you an example here, one of many. Because Satanism is seen as a, by a substantial majority of people, as bringing in the dangers of nihilism, terrorism. That's what it's all about. It's not political. There's a very powerful ideology that's, I guess the best way to explain it is kind of a, going into a collision with the biblical world and the belief system and moral sensibilities. This is what's going on. It's not terrorism or Islamic fundamentalism or any of that stuff, militia and all this. All that's a cover story. And so Charles Manson back in the 60s was beginning, and he was a sort of a representative of those individuals that had deep-seated criminal tendencies. And this is what Satanism provides, this signs and symbols, vocabulary and rituals and so forth to symbolize and act out their deviant pattern behavior. They become possessed. They end up being serial killers or sexual deviants and child molesters, which are abominations. And by these abominations allows the body to be possessed. Your Pentagon has classified projects using this technique. So is the Russians. What do you think they get their remote viewers, automatic riders, super soldiers, by this method? What do you think a million children are going per year that are disappearing? Now you know. And there's some other. Soylent Green, is it? It's not pleasant, but anyway. Well, Manson called himself the devil. He would use demonic symbols, and this is a example of the self-styled Satanist that he was. He was abused severely as a child, and these are the kinds of profiles that Satan looks for in the supernatural realm. He was eventually abandoned. So he became a hardened criminal who spent more of his years behind bars in a normal social environment. You'll find details of his life in Helter Skelter by Vincent Bugliosi. He was born in 1934. Illegitimately born. And he is uneducated, but extremely streetwise. He plunged into a kind of career that would, you could classify as a criminal genius. So he studied when he was in jail sentences in between and so forth. And while he was there, pop psychology, hypnosis, magic, and the occult. In particular, he is really into Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard, Dianetics, is what he's getting into. He continued his studies of Scientology. His teacher was Lanier Rayner. Now, I'm coming to a point here that's going to make it clear. And Manson, while he was in this prison, from what I understand, he achieved Scientology's highest level, Theta Clear. So, Scientology was also developed for all the stars on TV, movies. Scientology was for the stardom, actors and actresses. They also were part Masons and Eastern Stars and Wicca, witchcraft. You had to be a Wiccan or into witchcraft before you had a part on the Star Wars back in the 70s. If you weren't a witch or Wicca or Freemason, same thing with Star Trek, you could not get a part in the movie or the TV series. Is that important? Manson also went through Robert D. Grimston's process teachings. He split from Scientology, organized a church of process, the final judgment in England in 1964. Beatles had something to do with this as well. Now, Paul Watkins was second command to Manson's little groupie. And he said of his master Satan, quote, "Manson was big on Scientology and black magic. He picked it all up in San Francisco. It's pretty powerful stuff. He was continually hypnotizing us like mental thought transference." Obama, your presidents, all of them, Benjamin Krem, Bush, they have ways, even Adolf Hitler, through technology, gold technology, in the microphone. The Germans have a long name for it. That when you speak through the microphone, through a gold filament, it hypnotizes the crowd. It's alchemy, sound alchemy. All the presidents have been trained in it. Obama, Clinton, Bush, they're all evil. Every single one of them. All of them. All of them. We have never had a good president except the ones assassinated. And the only one that escaped it was Andrew Jackson. 3 times. George Washington just kind of stepped out of the way. Thomas Jefferson was a rat. He was controlled by Adam Weishaupt. Thomas Jefferson loved the killing at the French Revolution, as his quotes confirm. And he wrote his own Bible. Family, we got to come to reality of what's going on here. And that'll lead me to my epiphany I'm going to tell you here shortly. Now, here comes the point, the rub to it. You see, Manson was a tactician, well-trained, tremendous personal skills. He had a imagination. And the murders of Hollywood actresses Sharon Tate in 1969 wasn't just murder. It was more of an artistic happening than most people even begin to realize what really went on and what the purpose of the murders were. This one named Watkins told about Charles Manson's desire for human sacrifice. And also how he loved the part about the slaves and the torture sling of musician Gary Hindman. He's one of the 25 supposed victims of the Manson family. So according to testimony, these killings were not political assassinations. But what they were, like a lot of these killings going on today, and this is my point, is they were ritual, sacrificial slayings. You see, in keeping with the symbolism of Crowley, there we go, old Alistair. Well, he looks a whole lot like Bush, don't he? Barbara Bush, woo-hoo, because there's all kinds of evidence going around. Yeah, that Merkel was the granddaughter or daughter of Hitler. when Hitler came over here in 1946. Died in 1960s. Hitler, right? Yeah. And that Barbara Bush is the daughter of Crowley. Anyway, these aesthetic terrorists that we will call them, the slayings were intended as, and this is my point, the slayings done in satanic ritual was called supernatural triggers for apocalyptic type upheavals on a higher level. They become international, national news, national sacrifices. There's a military coup planned in the United States in 1970, 71, 72. Y'all getting the idea? Magicians, since earliest century, expect all this. That's what they use the murders for. Forest fires, disasters, mass murders, suicides. That's what else it's all about. Even Manson's idea of Helter Skelter had some relation to process church theology. The unleashing of cataclysmic evils in the end times in order to align the powers of Satan with the majesty of Christ by death. That is the purpose behind these murders and wars, to open up portals, to allow these demonic beings and fallen angels to take on flesh. The more power, the more death, the more power they gain, they're able to come into this world. I'm not going to go into the links to the Mansons and the Beatles and how they used the songs. We touched upon that this past week, I believe, of how they used rock and roll. It's all documented. It's all crazy, too, but it's true. Crazy stuff, you know. That's what's really going on today, that people just ain't getting. They're just not getting it. You see, patriotism is an idol. You know, we've been revved up to follow our country and defeat the enemy in the name of God, right? That's what we've been taught to do all along. However, all wars, as I've said, are prefabricated, already set up decades and decades and decades ahead. The wars were not created by God. In fact, both sides of every war has been led by Satan. Every single time. Every single war. And one to be the bad guy by design and the other to be the good guy on the surface. The rub is both sides were controlled by Satan's design, using mankind, using certain instances, using the Hegelian dialectic. So the Illuminati, Satan, is set to destroy sovereignty now, starting in 1945 to present. That's when it all began. By destroying sovereignty, which is what I've read you this before, the evidence is clearly there. And I use one particular quote that sums up the whole agenda. Was Robert Chisholm, and he describes it perfectly. As soon as I pull it up here, Brock Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, gives it a good summary. After 1946, by the way, they planned it. What summarizes is this quote: "To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. You had Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like 50 years later, working on it. I mean, they've all, this is what's going on. That's why they're targeting our U.S. troops, I'm going to talk about in a minute. It's all connected. It all began in 1945 after World War II. Bilderbergs were formed in the 1950s. UN was planning all this, going, and Korean War was planned to lose at the very beginning. When you remove sovereignty, patriotism, and religion, what happens? Well, you had it before, from the generations. So when you remove it, it leaves a vacuum. People need that cohesiveness. So when you remove it, downplay it, get rid of it, whatever, it leaves a vacuum. It's called the dialectic. Then they'll fill that vacuum with another illusion of peace and safety, led by the same ones that brought you the war in the first place. So in a way, when I talk about the founding fathers were deists and all that, I'm helping them. However, I like to go a different route. They want to lead you the vacuum to Satan, world peace, which is a lie. It'd be great to have world peace. You see, Jesus Christ is offering the same thing. He's saying, when I come back, there'll be peace. But what he's throwing in the mix is a little thing called judgment. Now, that's the part people don't like. I mean, you ever had that feeling before when you knew that you were late getting back at home at 11 o'clock with your car and you knew you were going to catch it? It's 11:10. It's the worst feeling in the world. Or you're an adulterer, say, for example, and you're out having dinner, and your friend of your wife or husband, whatever, goes by and says, whoa, what are you? And you're like, oh, that nagging, aching feeling of what's coming next. Well, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're not going to take those steps. When you know that no matter what happens, he's there for you, you don't have that nagging feeling. Jesus Christ will offer also. When he has judgment, judgment's coming. Well, if you've repented of your sins, so. It's those people that are afraid of death that are afraid of life. When you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're not afraid of life anymore because you're not afraid of death. That's very important. Lord, put in my heart to tell you that. Jesus Christ is going to rule this world when he comes back after Armageddon and after the judgment and wrath of God on this planet to start a new life for everybody that's left. Glorified bodies and saints and will rule a lot different. It's only after judgment. And it's coming. There's no stopping it. But everybody's afraid of judgment, so they just deny it's going to happen. But Jesus Christ will offer real peace. Satan, his new world order, as I said about an hour ago, will lie and offer you death. They'll offer you eternal death and separation from the one who really loves you, and that's Jesus Christ. Because God incarnated human flesh, died on the cross, rose again, glorified, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Satan and those that follow him are the wicked slave owners. Jesus is your real parent. And family patriotism is being used as a weapon. And boy, they're using it really well, too. They've targeted our troops, just like they're going to target the Masons after they're done with the troops and everybody else. It's going to happen. So what the going on with our troops today and other folks that are trying to tell the truth and military that's being caught in the middle. Navy commander's death was ruled a homicide recently. It was a good guy, too, I understand. Death of Navy commander found a room at Astoria Hotel. February the 12th was ruled a homicide. Alfonso Das, 44, of Pensacola. He was reported to Naval Education Training Command in November 2011. Those two SEAL members were found dead on the Marsk, Alabama, had links to the Boston bombing sniper teams. Now they're coming out publicly that the Boston was really a setup. It didn't really happen, which I can absolutely believe. It's called a false flag for dialectic, and they're connected to that Boston bombing. Those two SEALs that were dead on that ship. Heart attacks, two SEALs? No, there's no way. Of course, they want you to know this too, by the way. They want you to know how worthless the government is. That's part of their plan. To know how worthless the government is. Every government, worldwide, that's their plan. So they'll bring on something better. That's called the New World Order. You see how they do it? That's called the dialectic. That's why I'm telling you all this. This is the reality of what's going on. To make sure you know it, here we go. Cops shoot elderly man reaching for his cane. How terrible that is. If it really happened, if it did, I don't doubt what it did. Or they just set it up that way. You'll find this in a lot of places. They want you to know that. California town in a shake as many police officers arrested in one California town. Makes me wonder if the ones in that town really wasn't going along with the New World Order or Freemasonry. That's what makes me wonder. You know that adults now can sex, I had to look it up, sex kids. You got texting. Here you got sext, I can't even pronounce it, sext. I said, what in the world is that? I had to look it up. Someone asked me the other day about a month ago. I go to a restaurant and drink coffee, and it's like a normal thing, a ritual, I guess. And I keep my notebook and write, and so they have my coffee cup waiting by the time I get to the bar. Oh, yeah, it's a regular ritual now. Some person sitting there, I was trying to look at my BlackBerry. I still got a BlackBerry. And I had to hold it out because they had my glasses. So I held it out. She said, excuse me. I said, what? She said, are you taking a selfie? I said, my what? She said, are you trying to take a selfie? I said, what dickens is a selfie? That was like a month ago. I didn't know what a selfie was. She looked at me kind of funny and said, that's a picture of yourself. I said, oh, okay. So this is a text. Well, a ruling that adults can sext kids in Texas because of free speech and Miley Cyrus. They made a ruling when they let this teacher go because he is SCXT, whatever, kids in his classes. See what they're doing? They're catching up with us. They're catching up. They're bringing in homosexuality, teachers going bad on kids, and that's for international rights of the child. How dare they let adults sex kids in Texas, and the other states will do it. So, people will support the international rights of the child. Yeah, of course. Then the UN's got your kids. That's how they do it. It's called a dialectic. Jan Brewer has vetoed Arizona's anti-gay bill. Family, they're catching up with you. They're coming up. The UN overlooks pedophilia. And then, to test out the mark of the beast about virtual currency, Bitcoin just disappeared. They got the information they needed. They got the program set up. So when you go now, instead of a Bitcoin, and they take the, and I figured this out the other day, you have the tattoo, which you don't like, that old syringe, you know, and the old mark underneath your skin, that blood come. Now, a tattoo? Well, sure, give me a tattoo. No problem, right here, a tattoo, right on my arm, my hand, there you go. So they'll go to the store. See, Walmart's already got this. Yeah, they got it. So you go to the store, and it does a scan on your tattoo and removes the credits from your account. Bitcoin. That's a test case, man. And he just disappeared with it. It's gone. Isn't that something? Secrets of the Vatican exposes a moral crisis facing the Catholic Church new pope. They say that Francis is a false prophet. That is not true. The false prophet is a fallen angel named Sananda Emmanuel. Francis is not the false prophet. He's going to lead to the destruction of the Catholic Church, yes, as he's planned to do. He is not the false prophet, though. Population's known alien planets nearly doubles planets. Alien planets? There's no alien planets out there. NASA is a nestbed of Freemasons that are taking blood oath to lie. I got a study on the involvement of how NASA is set up to lead people to believe that there's life in outer space. They're even talking about alien invasion to launch in April. That would be disclosure if they actually do that. Oh, four cops were dispatched to arrest a girl for jogging without an ID. You see how they do it? They put it out there everywhere. And Supreme Court rules that cops do not need a warrant to search your home. Moving right along. Setting it all up. Well, they've targeted the troops, and I'm going to give you an example of how they're doing it. When you go, let's see, here we go. They, 22 suicides per day. That's reduced the numbers of those that's going to be veterans that's going to go against the New World Order. Now, what I'm going to do is let Anthony Sutton, who's right on target, tell you how it works, at least part of what they've been doing. Here we go.
What I'd like to do is to get on with a subject that you've been most involved in since you've done all these things that we've been discussing, and that is psychotronics. I'd like to show you a video clip on Soviet psychotronics and ask for your comment, and we'll take off into that area.
Okay. But in the Soviet Union, a radio frequency, or RF device, has been used for over 30 years to manipulate the moods of mental patients. It's called a Lida machine. It radiates pulses of radio frequency energy, as well as light, sound, and heat. The pulse rate is in the extremely low frequency range, between 0 and 100 pulses per second. Dr. Ross Ady is the top researcher at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Loma Linda, California. He has been investigating the effects of the LIDA machine.
Now, what did the Soviets use this machine for? Well, they don't use it anymore. We should be very clear that this is a machine which is regarded by them as somewhat obsolete technology.
This scientist, who did not want his identity revealed, is employed by the U.S. government and has done secret RF weapons research. He believes that tests done with the LIDA and similar machines prove that humans are susceptible to remote alterations of mood and awareness.
Certain kinds of weak electromagnetic signals work exactly like drugs. And so the promise is that anything you can do with drugs, you could do with the right electromagnetic signals. Apparently, there are specific sites involved, specific functions involved. It's a matter of matching up, just like it is with a pill or a drug, to cause and effect. You could have a cause and effect relationship between a magnetic field and a biological function.
This sound, which is received by shortwave radios in the United States, is generated by another Soviet radio frequency device. It is known as the woodpecker because of its tapping noise. It is broadcast by a number of high-powered radio transmitters operating deep in the Soviet Union since July 4, 1976. Though the official Defense Department explanation of the woodpecker is that it is an over-the-horizon radar designed to track U.S. missile launches, some scientists suspect that the woodpecker is designed to interfere with human brain function.
As far as I'm concerned, the potential that this has for producing a direct psychoactive effect upon the poor American population is there. Has never been disproven.
Dr. Robert Becker is a pioneer in the field of bioeffects of electromagnetism.
The signal range within which the woodpecker operates is that which has been reported by many investigators to produce a tranquilizing effect upon animals.
We are just incredibly sensitive to these magnetic stimuli.
Dr. Bob Beck, a Ph.D. in nuclear engineering, has done extensive research into electromagnetic effects on humans.
The signal is permeating power grids in the United States. It was being picked up by power lines, re-radiated. It was coming into the homes on the light circuits.
Well, it was a little unclear, but I knew two of the gentlemen on the Bob Beck, and I think Becker was the other one. And basically, of course, they were talking about psychotronics. If I can translate in my words.
Please do.
Psychotronics is the... Let me pick these words very carefully. Is the long-range modification or manipulation of behavior by electronic, specifically radio means. In other words, you use electromagnetic energy, radio transmissions, to affect human behavior at a distance. In other words, what you're doing is that you are merging radio engineering and parapsychology. This is what I think the Soviets can do. This is something which we have not in the West looked at too carefully. What I think the Soviets can do, and this I think was the intent of this film clip, let me summarize what they can do and then in more detail about one or two of these facets. One, they can manipulate behavior at a distance. For example, they could create a riot, which you couldn't stop, in this auditorium, right out of that transmitter. What they would do specifically is that the name of the transmitter is not the one I know. I know it as the Gomel transmitter. He called it the woodpecker signal. But what they do, they broadcast the signal to create a riot. You broadcast 11 hertz, 11 cycles per second, beamed into this room. And it would, without you knowing, you would start to get uncomfortable, then upset, and then I presume start getting a little active, like throwing the plants around or breaking up chairs, things like that. You use specific, what are called radio frequency windows. 11 hertz will create that kind of behavior. Other frequencies, other windows will create other kinds of behavior. You can create a passive behavior. You can make people go to sleep. You can create narcotic effects. It has been used, actually, as an antidote, as a cure for narcotic addiction. You can make people alert. You can make them misconstrue, misunderstand things. Each has a specific, very precise frequency. We know what these frequencies are. We know the behavior modification that can be brought about. We know the Soviets are using it. Let me give you three examples. One, the Moscow Embassy in 1977, the State Department discovered that its employees are being zapped by what they call microwaves, that were really these transmissions. extremely low frequency transmissions. The ambassador, in fact, had heart problems as a result of it. And you can induce medical effects. You can induce heart attacks at a distance with certain frequencies. That's one example we know. The State Department then took the wrong approach. It's put screens on windows, but we know that copper and steel screening will not shield from alpha, extremely low frequency waves. There is another antidote which we can get into later if you want. One, we know you can modify behavior through beaming radio waves on specific frequencies at a distance. We can do that.
How great a distance?
Well, transmitter they're using is at Gomel. We know that that was beamed on Eugene, Oregon in the late 70s. They were picking up, I forget the cycles per second, I think it was about 9 hertz. And that was very intense at 2,000 feet. They got public health people picked up a number of, well, I think 20, 30, 40 cases of disorientation, headaches, nausea, that kind of thing, which you would get from that frequency. A more clear example is not Eugene, Oregon, although I'm fairly sure of that case, is the Canadian cases, Kirkland Lake and Timmins, Ontario, both bombarded by the Soviets. In this case, I'm in touch with a Canadian scientist who did the analysis for the Canadian government. There is no question in his mind that the Soviets bombarded Kirkland Lake and Timmins with a frequency which would create disorientation, headaches, and nausea, that kind of thing. So the distance, if you can get a radio wave in there, you can get this effect in there. It's so the frequency on which it operates.
The purpose of this was an experiment to prove what they could do and what they could do in wartime?
I think in the early 70s, this was experimentation. I think what they're doing today is not experimentation. If you look at the State Department, which as I see it, has not made one decision in our favor. Every decision is against us. If you look what happened in the Moscow embassy, if you get Schultz saying that counterintelligence is not productive, you know, these ridiculous statements, you begin to think that, okay, you can bring this about through psychoactive warfare, psychoactive manipulation using ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. And that's what Robert Beck and the other gentleman were saying.
Do the Soviets select certain individuals in the United States, or do they take a picture of them and put it in a machine in the Soviet
that's a different
Union?
Field.
Or what do they do?
There's several different things here. Firstly, I cannot prove that the Soviets have done this, but what I do know is that the West Germans issued their diplomats with protective devices about 10 years ago. In fact, I have the circuit diagrams for these protective devices. The West Germans have recognized the problem. They have taken moves against it. The State Department in 78 was not recognizing the problem. I don't know if they've taken any moves against it. It looks as if they have not.
Anthony Sutton, use part two.
No, here we go. This is where I am very, very disturbed, because in the West, we don't think in terms of warfare, certainly not to achieve objectives. Well, at least most of us don't, except the elite. And I'm concerned that while the elite is out to control the world, the Russian, given the Russian mind and the technology we've given them, is going to use this technology back against us in forms which we don't accept. And there's no question that our establishment engineers haven't until recently accepted behavioral modification through radio engineering. Now, both these gentlemen you noticed on here, they can talk because they're outside the establishment. They do not work for the government. In fact, I just had a letter from one of them. And this is the consensus among these people that this can be done, and secondly, it is being done. Now, there are other things that, in addition to behavioral manipulation, they're a little harder to pinpoint. I rather suspect that the Soviets can identify objects at a distance, say through radar. They can estimate the shape, the size, and the composition. In other words, one can analyze the return spectrum and analyze that and find the composition of what they're looking at. So theoretically, you could put a beam into, say, this top secret installation inside it, and you could get a picture back, very roughly, giving the shape, the size, and the composition of the article that was the other end of that beam. They can use it, I suspect, for telepathy. Telepathy, for a long time, has been a random sort of phenomenon. I think possibly you could use radio beam, radio waves as a carrier for telepathy. Perhaps even for psychokinesis, too.
Well, telepathy can be mind manipulation. If someone doesn't recognize it as an exterior communication.
So that basically is what psychokinesis is. Then the one you mentioned about the putting the picture in the well, the number of end uses for that, I don't know which one you had in mind, but for example, it could be used for finding people, tracing people. You could put a picture of a person within this machine and through a map, have it trace out the coordinates where the person is. I heard it was used in one case, the U.S. Navy, and now I cannot verify this, it's only what it's just hearsay, that the U.S. Navy did experiment with this kind of operation by getting the signatures of Soviet submarine commanders and using this process for identifying the location of this particular submarine.
Now that's a fantastic achievement, by a signature. You can't hide anything on this earth, not even a symbol. Now, do you think the Soviets are targeting certain segments of our population that are the leadership, the Congress, the military, or do you think that over the pole are coming ELF waves that are affecting the entire population, beaming these between 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning and so forth?
Well, if you look at Washington, you know, you go into Washington, it's like a world apart. And you go through all, like we did earlier, do we explain these things by stupidity, by ignorance? And you're almost left up by default with this behavioristic manipulation. It's the only one that really fits. I mean, these people are so out of touch with reality, as I see it, and as you see it, that this really becomes the only explanation that will hold water.
Well, when you have a few people that are not in any way influenced by it and take their stand for reality, for truth, for common sense, do these people have a natural repellent of these kind of energy waves? Is it the strength of God within them, or what is it that keeps some people totally clear in their thinking?
I think there's got to be an inner force, a spiritual power, which enables us, perhaps gives us an inner strength to see truth, to see things as they really are. And these people, as you mentioned, don't have this inner strength, this inner power, this inner reflection of God.
And when you look at the people who are receptive and who tout this line, they seem to have had the capacity for vulnerability to this before they came under that attack. Like Schultz, for instance.
Yes. A vulnerability.
Yeah, like Schultz. I mean, you could say he's a victim of ELF waves, but Schultz was Schultz before he was a victim of ELF waves, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's whether the Soviets manipulated his psychological weaknesses or the ELF waves brought them about. But the kind of person you get in Washington, a person who searches for power, you can guarantee that 95% of the people in Washington have got this lack of inner strength, as you mentioned.
You know, it's been observed by top people in Washington that the attrition rate on the part of people visiting the Soviet Union and then coming back and being soft on communism is amazing. In fact, they can go to the Soviet Union and be totally turned around in their views and become pro-Soviet. Do you think that therefore there is a greater effect of this mind manipulation in Soviet territory at closer range?
You're getting this with the businessmen. These top businessmen go to the Soviet Union and they come back. Dwayne Andrews is a very good example. He's chairman of Archer Daniels Midland. They come back from the Soviet Union and they may as well be reading a translation of Parker when they come back. It's the straight party line, right the way down. Now, they weren't always like that.
But you do get this phenomenon, not so much with diplomats, but you certainly get it with businessmen. They go there, they're wined and dined. I suspect they get this psychological manipulation. And they come back. And then they parrot the party line. When you challenge them, they become confused and hostile.
That's a real telltale sign, isn't it?
Real telltale sign.
The hostility is a front because there's no reason behind it. It's a bluster.
It's a bluster. And I've seen that at first hand. They become very antagonistic.
I've seen it too.
Yes. Which is weakness. There's nothing behind it. They're confused themselves why they're saying this and why.
Okay. Well, there you go, the testimony. Oh, by the way, the two seals that was on the Marsk, Alabama, they say now died of heart attacks. Family, 90%, I'd say 95%. I mean, people have awakened a little bit, but not even remotely where they need to be. When they start awakening, that's where your controlled opposition, Alex Jones, Quayle, Dizdar, all these guys, lead them in a different pathway. So you tell some truth and you deviate. What do you deviate from? King James Bible is not the true word of God. Or we follow the Vatican. So I tell you 90% truth, 80% truth. Everything else must be the truth. No, it's not. Skiba is another one. Tells a lot of good stuff about the Nephilim. But I got a response from him. It was scathing against the King James Bible. Very antagonistic. And, oh, here we go again with King James only kinds type of people. Here we go. That's how these people really are. I don't like it. Not a little bit. Because they don't understand, or maybe I'm just hoping they don't understand it. Because if they're doing it on purpose, God has a special place for them. It's not right. And by that, hostility, just like Anthony Sutton said, result of fear, hiding something. You see? So what I've tried to say the past couple days is they have been able to synthesize demonic activity by using ELF transmissions. Where does it originate? And we go back to what I said yesterday about the soul. Now, when you think soul, my soul is troubled today, or my soul, you speak about my soul wanders and yearns and blah, 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 yada, all this stuff. Nice poems and all this about your soul. But what is it really? What is your soul? Your soul encompasses your characteristics, your personality. Okay, Tom, what is it really? And you'll say, it is energy. The soul is energy. What's God? Oh, big energy. Well, the demons, little energy. Demons are nothing more than specks of light. The orbs that people see and all that, that's fallen angels. Different level of demonic activity, different level of demonic beings, not aliens at all. The entire universe, family, the entire universe, the physical universe as we know it, was created by God to service only the earth. Because if one thing is out of whack, the sun does some kind of move, or Mars gets too close, or the moon gets too close, it completely throws the earth into a disarray. God has his soul set up perfectly to sustain life. Now I have Christians, even Billy Graham believes in aliens in outer space. The Vatican believes in aliens in outer space. I have Christians that I've mentioned, that pastors that, oh, of course there's aliens. Well, they're forgetting one major, major point here. It surprises me, but about original sin. That invalidates original sin then. Does that mean the earth is the only cursed planet because of original sin that Adam and Eve committed? All the other planets out there, the millions, the nebulous millions of planets they come up with, you know, that each one had Adam and Eve on it? Or they didn't? Did God make sure and all these other space brothers that we have out there? Then they some come up with evolution, the way life was created. Evolution, 33 different ways. 33 different, this is just major. 33 factors required for life to exist. Minus one of them, you're not going to have life, will not survive. Take one of them and adjust the temperature up or down, you still wouldn't have life. All 33 ways, there's 33 that required, like gravity, amounts of certain gases as mentioned and so forth. Too much of one gas, life won't exist. Too less, life won't exist. It's all perfectly aligned. It's impossible for it to happen accidentally. Literally, it'd be like a tornado going through a junkyard, and by going through the junkyard, it creates, it blows everything together to have a fully functional Cadillac for all the factors to be right for life to be happening by accident. And then you're going to have these so-called aliens or ascended masters or whatever they are. They're fallen angels, what they are. Say, we are here, disclosure. We ran away the Illuminati. We ran away the reptilian or whatever this nonsense that they're going to say. We are your creators also by intelligent design. See how they set us up for that? The Christians will accept that intelligent design nonsense. That's where everybody stops. They don't want to know about judgment. You see what I mean? So I say, when they say that, okay, big boy, who created you? Did you just exist on your own? Did you all somehow create yourself from some kind of singularity? Where did you come from? And by the way, do you know Jesus Christ of Nazareth? And watch what they do. They'll vomit is what they'll do, according to Swedenborg. They get sick at the name of Jesus. Because they know where they're heading. Hell was created for them. But not for you. Only for those that follow him, called the tares, Satan. But those who follow Jesus, then you're not afraid of death. Those who are afraid of death are also afraid of life. Those who live a lie are dead already. It's simple. The Bible talks about the soul. Well, obviously. But where's the soul, as I mentioned yesterday? Is it, you know, have you ever thought about that? Where's the soul located? Is it somehow in your body somewhere? Does it go through your life in the blood? Adam and Eve didn't have any blood. They had skin and bone. Flesh and bone. Your flesh and my flesh, bone and my bones. Didn't say nothing about blood. They didn't have blood till they sinned and were dying. Sin brought blood to their system. Because life is then in the blood. By the shedding of blood can remission be made of sins. That's where it started. The blood came, the blood goes. Sin brought blood to their bodies. When you live eternal, there's no need to have blood. Because the blood nourishes the cells. Well, if the cells are eternal, you don't need the blood. The body's changed. Eve would give birth, go forth and multiply, he said to them, with no pain in childbirth. And all Adam had to do was just sit there in the garden and commune with God, Jesus Christ, in the garden, and eat fruit. No meat. There's no need to eat meat. Only fruit provided throughout the garden. But he sinned, brought blood to their bodies, death began. Adam and Eve was the first sacrifice, slightly on the long term. Then they had to sacrifice animals. God taught them from then on what they had to do. And that was passed down. Cain and Abel. And you know the rest of the story. Only by the remission of sins is only by the shedding of blood. So their body is supernaturally changed. In the same way at the Tower of Babel, when Jesus came down, supernatural way, angel of the Lord came down and looked upon what they were doing. That they were all together building a tower to the second heaven. And that tower was to be able to, by ritual, bring in the fallen angels through the tower, through alchemy, into this world. God destroyed it and then supernaturally changed their language. Now, whether Jesus Christ, whether God changed the body structures then at that moment, or whether by them moving to different parts of the earth at that point, because there's no water bridges then, until about 10 generations later was the water bridge came up and divided the land. Genesis 10:25. And so, by being in different positions on the earth, then started changing DNA. It will change DNA. And your language, your words, what you eat starts changing DNA. So there's no real way in the Bible that says that he did it instantly to change the bodies into Caucasian, Chinese, black and white. But it happened at the Tower of Babel. Either at the same time the words were the languages were changed, or over the long term by being different parts of the earth, the DNA changed because electromagnetic energy in different parts of the earth changed the DNA over the long term. Bible doesn't say. Either way, that's where the different cultures came from. Body structures. Japhet, Caucasian, Chinese. Shem, Middle Easterner, Indians and Mexicans, and Middle Easterner. Ham, black folks. Japhet, white folks. Shem, bronze-colored skin, folks. And there you have it. So your soul, when you have amputation of leg, you still have your soul. Your arms, you still have your soul. Your body, but where's your soul? It's in the brain. It's in the pineal gland. That's where your speck of light called your soul resides. In the middle of the forehead is where it's depicted. Now you know why Hinduism, they have that little dot there, and you see all these lights emanating from the forehead. That's why. The third eye is the pineal gland. It's like a little pine cone of sort. It's kind of what's called the organ in your brain, which seats your soul. It's the pineal gland. Matthew 6:22-23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So this pineal gland is situated somewhere around the anatomical center of the brain that lies a mysterious gland that we're calling the pineal gland. A lot of people don't know a lot about it. Of course, those New Age, they do. It's where the silver cord is connected. And an Illuminati philosopher named René Descartes called it the seat of the soul, because he believed it actually provided people with a medium of which the soul could be expressed throughout physically. So when they bring fluoride into the body, supposedly that calcifies it to some degree, which would essentially cut off connection, they believe, to God. Look it up on your own. Dr. Rick Strassman, MD, author of DMT, the spirit molecule, he actually declared some years in research to the pineal gland. He suggested that this gland is the factory of a powerful brain chemical called dimethyl tryptamine, DMT. And when it's produced, it induces a person into a psychedelic and mystic experience of some sort. So this goes along with what I was talking about, and then what Anthony Sutton was talking about, how they tap into your soul, the third eye, through your body. They know about this stuff. If you go back to 3rd century, Herophilus, he's Greek. He discussed the piniform of the pine cone-shaped organ. It's about the size of your pinky fingernail. Comes from the Latin word pinea, which means pine cone. And so the gland is at about the geometric center of the mass of the brain. It's technically not part of the brain at all. It's not protected by the blood-brain barrier. And in this book, DMT, The Spirit Molecule, Strassman talks about the gland's unique solidarity status that it has within the brain. You can follow up with other additional research about the pineal gland, but they know how to manipulate it. And now you sort of got an idea as a result of today, unless you already did, it's fine. But a lot of it has to do with this pineal gland, the size of the fingernail, and it looks like a gland, looks like a pine cone, more like a pine cone. So these statues you see of a pine cone, that's exactly what it identifies as. That's what they're talking about here. Throughout history, you got some examples. A bronze sculptor with a hand in the mystery cult of Dionysus in the late Roman Empire has a pine cone on the thumb. A Mexican god holds pine cones in a fir tree in a sculptor. Osiris in Toronto and Torino, Italy, has two kundalini serpents. They intertwine each other, which is part of DNA, what that really means, and they face a pine cone at the top. It's all symbolic. The Assyrians and the Babylonians, winged god of Tammuz, his birthday is 24 December. Mithra is 25 December. He's pictured as holding a pine cone. I can go on and on. There's all over the United States and all over definitely the Vatican. The Vatican court of the pine cone. That's what that means. Very important, family, for them anyway. They see it is. In the book, in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 12:6, it says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. C-I-S-T-E-R-N. So, you have a degenerative process that takes place because man's going to his long-lasting home of death and the grave, and soon the burial processes will be moving on down the street after a period of being older or whatever happens. But later to be judged. But the advice at 12:6 is the wise man is to remember the Creator before the silver cord is snapped, before death. When you die, it's over. Don't matter what special operations, special forces, don't matter whether you're some scientist, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, or what you are. If you're not born again, you're going to hell. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. Any questions? But letting go of the world is the problem. Will the golden bowl be broken? Or the pitcher shattered at the fountain? Or the wheel broken at the cistern? Now, you can go all kinds of directions with trying to identify what these words are. It is difficult to assign exact meanings to all of these figures that we're talking about, the symbols. But the snapping of the silver cord, that refers to the breaking of the tender thread of life when the spirit is released from the body. And in the third level of overshadowing, or say, channeling, when you give up your body for the fallen angel or the demon to come inside you, what we've talked about, through drugs, witchcraft, Ouija board, or actually ritual, yoga, all kinds of different ways. When the spirit's released from the body for a third degree or a third level complete possession, do you ever make it back? When that silver cord, is it broken or do you still have connection? Kind of like cave diving and you spelunking. You got a rope, you're spelunking, and you have a rope tied to an oak tree as you go down, you know, your silver cord. Somebody cuts it, you're in a whole lot of trouble. But the golden bowl has been understood to mean the cranial cavity. It's breaking to be a kind of a poetic picture of the cessation of the mind at the time of death. And the broken picture in the wheel, well, that's possibly a reference to the circulatory system. And with the breakdown of systolic and diastolic blood pressure, so rigor mortis would set in. The body would begin to return to dust at that point, 3 or 4 days after. Spirit returns to God who gave it, or so it seemed according to Solomon. In the case of a believer, the conclusion is true, but in the case of an unbeliever, the spirit goes to Hades. And there in Hades, he'd wait after, even after the 1,000 years once they started, for the great white throne judgment. I discussed this yesterday. Then the spirit will be reunited to the body, and the entire person at that point from the great white throne will be cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 12 to 14. For an eternity. So this preacher comes in full circle where he began it, with the basic idea, the basic tenet that life is under the sun and everything is vanity, meaningless, futile, and empty. His refrain reminds us of a poem I got here that went on to be fair to stay too long. Billy Barnes wrote, "I wanted the music to play on forever. Have I stayed too long at the fair? I wanted the clown to be constantly clever. Have I stayed too long at the fair? I bought me blue ribbons to tie up my hair, but I couldn't find anybody to care. The merry-go-round is beginning to slow down. Have I stayed too long at the fair? I wanted to live in a carnival city with laughter and love everywhere. I wanted my friends to be thrilling and witty. I wanted somebody to care. I found my blue ribbons all shiny and new, but now I've discovered them no longer blue. The merry-go-round is beginning to taunt me. Have I stayed too long at the fair? There's nothing to win, no one to want me. Have I stayed too long at the fair?" When you come to Solomon's last reference in the emptiness of life under the sun, you reminded of a story where one named E. Stanley Jones used to tell. He, on board a ship, he saw a very corpulent couple. Their faces were together. They believed lived meal to meal, and they were retired on plenty and nothing. So they were angry with the table server for not giving them service, super service. They seemed to be afraid that they might starve between courses, maybe. Their physical appetites seemed the one thing that mattered to them the most. He said, I never saw them reading a book or paper, but they sat between meals and stared out, apparently waiting for the next meal. One night, he says that he saw them sitting thus and staring blankly. A bright idea flashed across the dull brain of this man. He went to the mantelpiece and picked up the vases and looked into them and returned to his wife with the news. They're empty. He said, I came very near laughing. He was right, they're empty. But it wasn't really merely the faces. The souls and brains of both of them were empty. They had much in their purses, but nothing in their persons. That was their punishment. Had security with boredom and adventure. No adventure. They had expanding girths and narrowing horizons. We stayed too long at the fair. The end result is heaven with Jesus. The end result is hell. Follow Satan. The Bible has all the answers. I know that the Book of Enoch has some truth in it. It's not written by Enoch, definitely. The Book of Enoch, for example, is a testament of the fallen angels, but you got to be careful with it. It's not trustworthy. It does give you truth, though, to a certain extent. I just read it if I ever look at it, which I don't at all. I think I've glanced it a few times. I said, nah, I don't feel right, because the Bible's got everything you need. Y'all can do it if you want, but I don't promote the Book of Enoch at all. It's not God-inspired. You got to figure out, excuse me, you got to figure out what's true and what's not. I don't like doing that. I know the King James got 100% truth. But does your life matter? You know, when God's working with you, when you don't go to work today as you did, or whatever you change, the entire world would be in some way different. It's true to say that the whole world begins and ends with each person, if it is. That is, each of your actions is so important, contributes to the experience of others. And these whom you do not know, each individual is like a center about which the world revolves. The earth is where the universe revolves, actually. Your acts ripple outward in ways that you don't even understand. Because I don't. Interacting with the experience of others and hence forming world events. Most famous and most anonymous persons are connected through such fabric, which is an action apparently small and innocuous, end up changing history even as we understand it. Think of the universe as a big pond of water. The water would be ELF waves, would be radiation, electromagnetic energy, a cloud of it throughout the universe. Think of it as a pond. So if I take a big old rock, and you've got little critters in there and all this, and I throw a rock in one side of the pond, it's going to affect the whole pond in some way. Wherever I throw a rock or do something to the pond or whatever is going to affect it in that place, it's going to affect it the whole pond in some fashion, different places, different effects. Same thing in the universe. One thing out of whack, life wouldn't exist on this planet. So when you're born on a certain month, there is something to that, because the constellations are placed in the atmosphere, in the universe, to guide men along on Earth, directions, and other such things, but the fallen angels have taken a step further. When you were born, according to God's plan, the galaxies are somewhere, the constellations are a certain place for your star sign or whatever. So that's going to affect your energy. Your soul is affected by the month you're born. That's why in the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob, he put them all, each tribe, in the same birth month. That's how they decide the tribes. They had the Levites to do what? To bring the law, right? They all had to be born the same month. He put them all together in the tribe of Levites, the same month. So they get along. Each one has a different gift in each month. That's how it's divided up. So when you're born, you have a basic personality for that month. Certainly the way you've grown up will affect it, but your core personality and character is based on the month you're born because the energy is different in a different month because the constellations have moved around. That's how you have different personalities, different gifts and all that. God set it all up in creation perfectly. I found it quite amazing when I started learning this stuff. Well, problem is, knowledge of good and evil, they've learned to tap into that. That's where this talk today is headed. How they've scientifically, electronically, have been able to tap in to your soul. Now, you apply the mark of the beast, which I've traced the technology back in 1973, and now you know why. Because that mark of the beast taps into your soul and can adjust your frequencies, your characteristics, your personality, your character. Do you recall in the interview with Anthony Sutton? In that interview, he talked about at 11 hertz, it causes people to get riotous. Now, you've heard me talk about that before. 10.6 hertz and up, riotous behavior. He talked about depression. That's when they reduce it down to 6.6 hertz. The average human resonance is like 7.8, too. A variance of that, upward will cause agitation. A variance of that, lower, will cause depression. Now, you add the voices and the drugs, and you got yourself a suicide. Easily. And so, there's articles coming out now where troops are being targeted. Yeah, I'd say so. Not only the vaccines, but the ELF transmission. Well, the definition, according to William G. Carr, Red Fog Over America, of the lifelong trained assassins throughout the world are called nihilists, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-T-S. And who these people are is, I quote, executioners used by all conspirators who aspire to control a world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society, and they try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural deaths, unquote. Yeah, it's right there. Between 1873 and 1901, there's a lecture given by Illuminati to a group of people that were on the high level. and he was briefing on the protocols of the learned elders of Zion and what they're going to do once they finally get control of the world government. And they called it what's going to happen to all lesser beings. And they list, I quote, Masons, Jews, Christians, etc., etc. You also include Muslims there. And it says, I quote, when we, the high priest of Luciferian creed, at least, at last, definitely come into our kingdom by aid of a coup d'etat, prepared everywhere for one and the same day after, listen now carefully, the worthlessness of all existing governments have been definitely acknowledged, unquote. And that's what they're trying to do now. To show you the tyrannical government we're in. To show you tyrannical government in Britain. To show you the tyrannical government in the Ukraine. And yeah, you got the rest of the story. It's happening. They tried to do it in 1999. I don't know. I still haven't figured out why Alex Jones started talking about and lied on the air about Putin launching an attack and all that. And December 31st, 1999. I haven't fully figured that one out yet. I know it didn't happen because I was in Kosovo in November 1999. I left 2004. I worked right there on the border, the boundary of Serbia in Kosovo. There's never a war ever there whatsoever. The lecture that I'm speaking of was delivered between 1873 and 1901. And the lecturer told his listeners, Illuminati lecturer, said it might take a century to place those who directed the conspiracy, quote, where no power or cunning can prevent or us usurping undisputed world dominion or domination. He tells his audience that once in power, now listen, they shall take the following steps to make certain they remain in power, unquote. Four steps. One, we shall slay without mercy all who take arms to oppose our coming into our kingdom, unquote. Number two, when belonging to anything like a secret society, we'll be punishable by death. Well, New Agers, there goes your idea of do as thou wilt. They just threw that away. I wonder how many of them even know that. Anyway, number three, those who, having belonged to secret societies, such as served the synagogue of Satan, are to be disbanded and sent into exile. Now, this is 1873-1901, right? So that's exactly what happened in Russia and was being done in China in the 50s, 40s and 50s. Chiang Kai-shek is a good example. There you go. And then the lecturer added, in this way, we will proceed with Masons who know too much, unquote. Number four. Death will be the penalty of all who hinder our affairs. Quote, we execute Masons in such wise that none, save the Brotherhood, can ever have suspicion of it. Not even the victims themselves of our death sentence. They will all die when required as if by some normal kind of illness. Unquote. Well, there you go. And that's only the short of it. Family, it's about renouncing the blood oath. It's about then repenting of sins. Depends. If your family has been into Wicca or into Freemasons or messed with Ouija boards, you have to be delivered. It's a simple matter of calling upon God and fasting and praying to get those demons out of your home and to get rid of all that paraphernalia and to stay away from the lodge and get out of there. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming from the second, from the third heaven, going right through the second heaven to the first. Now tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the heavens. How many heavens there are, I'm going to talk about heavens and principalities. Y'all remind me. Tomorrow, the heaven and principalities and current news we'll talk about. Tonight's Bible study, 7:30 to 9. I think what I'm going to talk about tonight, consecration, I think, it's something else. Tomorrow, creation. I think I was going to talk about consecration and consecration, I believe it was. And sanctification, I think. Anyway, I'll check. I want to remind you all that John Kirkler, who owns and runs highportradio.net, he's adding an antenna every month now. Every month he's putting up another antenna. So you all out there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, give a hand. He's got sponsors, and he's adding to his program. He runs us, runs our programs randomly on his show, the MP3s of our broadcasts and Bible studies. And also KBLU Radio at Blue Raven Network runs a simulcast on us on occasion. Keep you mindful of my website, watchmenforjesus.com. Of course, if you all listen to me, you're there anyway. my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. Today, Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday. End of month. They have St. Paddy's Day in March, don't they? St. Paddy's Day. Well, there you go. You can see a green river. Everybody's got a red river somewhere, right? We're at almost the tribulations, red river. Well, you can see a green river in Chicago. There you go. I don't think it's got anything to do with tribulations. Well, actually, neither do the red rivers in Michigan or Kansas have anything to do with tribulation. But nevertheless, people just liked to bring up colorful rivers as part of the end times events. It's not true. It will happen, though, when God has the real tribulations. It'll be real blood, too. God can do that, you know. He did it in Moses and Egypt. He'll do it again. Family, you have a good night. Know that Jesus Christ is coming back, and you've already won if you take Jesus Christ as your Savior. He won on the cross of Calvary. They lose. All we're doing now is just trying to count the casualties and learn about the techniques and methods and where they are to ferret them out with prayer and fasting. Because God's going to get tired of it shortly. You can see the events getting more. That's how you can tell. When you see the signs of the times increasing, then you know he's pulling back. You know your time is short. Shorter. That's how you can tell. And the way it increases, more states take on homosexual marriage and approve it. Legalizing abortion, all these things, causes God to pull back more, and boom, Satan fills the vacuum, and we're in it. In the meantime, live your life, not in fear. Those who try to deliver fear and fear only are the ones afraid themselves. You'll have a good night, sleeping well, because Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's coming back. That you can rest assured. Have a good night. And this is Watchmen for Jesus, signing off. Good night and God bless. Thank you.
sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless. Signing off.